Welcome to the Podcast at the Hill. You are about to hear a message from our guest speaker, Randy Williams, entitled, Human Wreckage.
You guess? Human wreckage. Some have made shipwreck. Words sound differently to different men, and language is a word picture, as we must see the facts before we understand the word. Paul chooses a metaphor applied to character, which is so terrible when applied to disasters at sea. Many beautiful vessels have arrested the gaze of admiring spectators as she spread her sails to the favoring breeze and breasted the waters like a thing of life. But on the other shore, her shivered timbers and her shattered bow have been washed up as the wreckage of the once gallant ship. Her half-defaced name, the only testimony to her fate. So Paul had seen men wrecked of the breakers of self-indulgence, vice, and folly. Paul associates loss of character with loss of faith, holding faith a good conscience, which having put away have made shipwreck. Shipwreck affects the very elements of our being. A good conscience, the sweetest meal to which every man sat down, the subtlest music which no Beethoven can approach, the noblest heritage that at Moses could sacrifice Egypt for, a confidence, a conscience cleansed by Christ's blood, enlightened by the Word of God, and quickened by the Holy Ghost. Amen? A good conscience. Wealth cannot purchase it. Envy cannot steal it. Poverty cannot harm it. And nothing but sin can delude it of its crown. It is the strength of the confessor's endurance, the luster of the sufferer's countenance, the peace to the martyr's heart. A good conscience, wreck that and all is lost, and the S-U-N of moral firmament sets in darkness. We see here that Paul reminds Timothy several times of individuals who tragically had turned away from Christ and abandoned the faith. Wreckage through losing a good conscience. DeWitt Talbridge wrote, and this is a true story, and I can relate it to a friend of mine, but he didn't get shipwrecked. Circumstances, world things that happen when we come to Christ and we're not able to handle it, or we try to compromise with the world, then slowly, Brother Doug, our faith becomes shipwrecked. You're no longer good to God. You're not a good witness. Matter of fact, you're a stumbling block. Amen? I had a friend who started in commercial life as a book merchant with a high resolve. He said, in my store there shall be no books that I would have my family to read. Time passed on, and one day I went into his store and found so immoral books on the shelf. And I said to him, how is this possible that you cannot consent to sell such books as these? Oh, he replied, I have got over those puritanical notions. A man cannot do business in this day and time unless he does it in the way other people do it. To make a long story short, he lost his hope of heaven, and in a little while he lost his morality, and he went into a madhouse. In other words, when a man cast off God, God cast him off. True story here, 1953. But when has a man shipwrecked concerning faith? When he has lost his hold of spiritual truth. We know but little of these men, Herminius and Alexander, but what we do know shows that they lost their grasp of divine and apostolic teaching. You know, there are those around the nation, not here, our pastor preaches the message, and several other churches. But there are those who don't preach the apostolic teachings. You can do this. You know, I come out of life that wasn't any good, so God had to fashion me, the master potter, and I'm just a bad piece of clay he took, Brother Doug, and he formed it. Many times I can relate to this story because I wasn't saved long at the plant that I'm working at now, and I'm fixing to be 25 years there. They come, a group come against me in 93 of October of 17. I remember it. And, wasn't saved long and didn't get baptized, Richard, till 94. So, Kim, I was still in a state of, you know, anything come against me, how'd I deal with it? But thank God I had a pastor, Brother Briers, who would take me under his wing and teach me and help me with these life struggles at work. Before, when I was lost, I wouldn't care, Richard, what they say. You know what would happen then. But being a man of God, and I'm thinking, I can't do these things. And this group has come against me. I must pray. That's what they told me at the church to do. Pray. Because I didn't know how back when I was coming up, Debbie. And I'd pray and ask God to help me. I said, Your will be done. I know the word. And I said, I can't really like this scripture. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say vile things about you. I said, that'd be hard for someone in my shape. So it was easily, if it hadn't been for the teachings of the word and a good pastor and the church. See, we need the church. No matter if anybody ever here don't like you or most like you, it don't really matter. You've got to have the atmosphere of the church. My own brother come here, and he's not a church person. But he come here, and he felt peace that day. He just needed some relief because this is a violent person when unleashed. The church, it was the singing. He didn't know none of the songs. That's one thing about me. I can't sing and I don't tell jokes. I can't get a joke right, so there's no need me trying. But the thing is, Brother Porter, we need the church. You know, I thought about this, Sister Quinn, as I was studying this. My mama, and a lot of y'all remember her, and Kim knew her, but you know, she would always say, that Sister Quinley, she always tells me how good I dress. Because my mama tried to wear a dress here one time and fit in. And that was about, I told mama, you look nice in that. She never wore, she was trying to wear one of them old-fashioned dresses that looked like she was in a holiness church, bless her heart. And she wanted to fit in. And I said, Daddy, it's lovely. I said, forgive me, God, for just exaggerating a little bit. But she loved Sister Quinley, would put in a little time and send her cards and tell her how good she looked. That's what it takes. Even though my mama was mean. But I thank God I was allowed by the Lord to lead her to him and preach her funeral. But that's what's good about the church. Amen? Now, when we in this area of shipwrecked faith, we're in a devastating area where it's not a lot talked about of falling away, departing from the living God, but you get into the area of apostasy, backsliding. We see that individual apostasy is possible only for those who have first experienced the blood of the new covenant in regeneration and sanctification and renewal of the Holy Ghost in relationship with Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. Here the author of Hebrews discusses the horrible consequences of apostasy, falling away from the faith. Amen? Have you known anybody? I have. Have a family. And I think, you know, you can't be a mean person. My sister, Kim, was once filled with the Holy Ghost, had the gift of discernment. I watched them for years, wearing the long skirts and the poor old teeny shoes, and didn't have no money, and me and Daddy be sitting out in the yard drinking, saying, here they come. Look at them right there. 14 years went through this, and you couldn't tell me she wasn't saved. Nobody puts a chronological time period on when a person prays the sinner's prayer and asks God to come into his heart, which we see in Scripture. But she chose to gradually, different for different people, move away. I talk to her now. Pray for her. She made A's in theology at college. But look at her now. Sweet love. But sweet and love don't go to heaven. It's only those who repent and ask God to help them and forgive them of their sins. Amen? You know somebody who's went back. I've seen them all through the church in 25 years happen. The Christian faith is primarily about relationship to God. Thus, the Bible speaks of God's fatherhood and Christ's sonship and our relationship to God and his family and children. That's who we are. Now, the Bible issues urgent warnings. We have warnings all through the book here. Grave possibility designed both to alert us to be the deadly dangers of abandoning our union with Christ, and to motivate us and persevere in faith. See, when we get saved, I don't know about you, some of y'all was born saved, but I wouldn't. And I'm going to tell you this, Brother Doug, the thing that I know people struggle with, there's three things that you battle. You battle your mind. That's the most consistently battle right there in your mind. And Paul says, listen, you're saved now. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My parishioners at Wings know, they hear me preach it. It's good to have one of them with me today. So you battle mind all day long. Richard, you got your job to deal with. I got to be saved. I love the Lord. Here comes this bunch I can't stand. And you know what? I told this, Terry, that, you know, one of your workers I couldn't stand, and he'd come to the top. And I told Faust the other day, I'm going to give you an example how God works in real life. And this thing had a cussing mouth. He probably knows who it is. And I'd just get the paper at break time, go get my Milky Way candy bar, going in the break room. Now, some would say, like people think, oh, every Christian's got to be nice and timid. You've got to be, I know, harmless as a lamb, wise as a serpent. And yeah, that got you right there, didn't it? But there comes a time in the book of Jude, we're to contend for the faith. Now, that's my character. That's what he says. So after a while, Terry, you know, I said, well, it's time for me to come on out there. But you know, me and this guy become friends on the job, and I can ride anywhere with him. And you had a new worker the other day, and he told me that worker's name. He said, now this is the Rev, don't you do no cussing. I went, yeah, I'll tell you after church who it is. You probably already know. But see how God works? We're impatient. I wanted him to quit cussing that day, right that minute, like I never had. But I wanted him to quit, because I walked into the room, I don't want to hear it. Listen, I don't have the reputation, you don't either. God does. Let me put my Clark Kent glasses back on. Y'all thought I was going to preach in my Superman outfit. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. The divine purpose of these warning passages must not be weakened by the view that states the warnings are real, but the possibility of actual apostasy is not. That's a doctrine from hell. Why have the warnings if you ain't going to heed to them? It's the same as speed limits. You're in a school zone, do 25, not 125. Amen? They're there to help us shipwreck faith, human wreckage. So we have some warning passages. And I picked a couple, and I was getting a little there. I thought Brother Porter was over at my house checking my notes out. Yeah, I knew what was going on here. We see one of the warnings passages, and there are many, but I chose a couple that I like, and I like 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 and 5. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Here it comes, Brother Porter. You got your seatbelt on? Don't be sleeping over there. I'm watching you. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Hold it right there. You know, I really didn't like that one. Sister Lewis is here. I tell her this one. Is she here today? No. You know, the psalmist said in 34:19, Brother Ernest, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, we ain't talking to lost. We're talking directly here to the church to say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them through them all. We don't really like that because we want it done the way we want it done. Instant healing. Instant this. Instant blessings. But when they don't come in time, when the doctors tell you, Brother Mac, you got cancer, Brother Bobby, and we look at them like, God will take care of me and heal me. And then they look back at you, Sister Morrison, and say, well, that's great, but you still got cancer. How do you handle that? You handle that through the Lord. Okay. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I can't get out of them, Chris. I'm going to be afflicted somehow. I can just get that little satellite you had in that building over in Nicaragua for me, but I can't convince Sister Cheryl to go over there. Thing is, we've got to do it the way it's put to us. God can heal right then. I've had it done with pulled ligaments and such. But through this cancer process, you, we've had to go through this and deal with things. Brother Bobby dealing with issues. I consider myself easy. I don't even like to compare to what Brother Bobby's going through and Brother Mac. Prayers are to them. But they know where they're going. Not being mean, but as I said before, you know you're going to heaven. You don't have the spirit of fear. You can't have, according to the word of God. Amen? They will not endure sound doctrine. Some people throughout the history of the church have refused to love sound doctrine. Yet as the end draws near, the situation will grow worse. You know, I told my wife, and I've told some of you others, I thank God. Now, the Church of God in Forest Hill is not going to get me into heaven. What's on the doorpost? What's above there, Leland, ain't going to get me there. My personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I thank God that I was saved in the Church of God, because, see, some other denominations, I wouldn't have made it. I'd have been in apostasy. Huh, Chad? I come out in public and see you at a table doing something at the church and you're a stumbling block, be sure that I would embarrass you. It's not really me, it's the Holy Ghost. I got a way out. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Many within the churches will no longer tolerate sound biblical preaching. Those who turn from the truth will want preaching that demands less than the true gospel. I'm preaching. Whether you know it or not, I'm preaching. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. These professing believers will not seek pastors according to standards of God's word, but will seek those who conform to their own self-seeking desires and gifts and wanting pleasures of the world. You know, John said, he that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Paul said, oh, Demas. He calls him Demas. But back in Colossians, beloved Luke and Demas. Beloved. Brethren. Somebody has forsaken me and returned to this present world. Now, don't say what, but he had fallen back, and some scholars say that he was starting to get scared young, and they done took Paul this. But listen, scared, he preached amongst the big guns. It ain't time to be scared. Huh, Brother Mac? You got to get it. We got to preach. Now, we ain't got to ram it down nobody's throat. Yeah, some of y'all think that's what I do, but I don't. I'm a nice guy. I pray and ask the Holy Ghost, Roy, to help me. Give me a door. Lock in. Lock. I got a mass murderer here, Brother Richard. I want this one. I'm fixing to preach hell, fire, and brimstone double time. And they like it, Danny. I mean, you can't hear no tomato soup. Thank God for Forest Hill. Tomato soup here. Our pastor preaches the word. Amen? Now, after I get through today, he might not let me preach no more, but that's okay. I got plenty of places, I can promise you that. God's written word must be our ultimate guide to truth and practice. We must use the word of God given by the Holy Ghost as our full and sufficient guide by which to judge what we believe and do. Steps that lead to people that fall away from God. Believers through unbelief fail to take the truths, exhortation and warnings, promises and teachings of God's word with the uttermost seriousness. Let's look. Luke 8 and 13. Short. I bet y'all saying right now, glad he ain't reading no long scriptures. Luke 8 and 13, very familiar passage. Starting up at verse 4, the parable of the sower. Then it's explained, 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believed, and in time of temptation fall away. Christ's interpretation of this parable, he explicitly affirms the possibility of a person believing, in essence, making a sincere beginning in life of faith, but subsequently falling away because of a failure to resist temptation. In contrast, are those who, having heard the word and keep it. See, that's where we was. That's where I had to be. I hear it, things come around. And I know what Jesus said in 16 and 33 of John. He told the disciples, these things have I spoken unto thee. In me you might have peace. Remember, he's the Prince of Peace. It's up to me and you to have peace with him. But in the world you shall have tribulation. Now the master just told you, you're not going to escape trouble. You're not going to escape it. Now, Chris, we don't look for it. I don't go in to work tomorrow scared. Oh, God, is something going to happen to me, Lord? Now, you forget that. That ain't me. I pray all the way going to work. Then one of my prayers is, and I'll tell you, Lord, please don't let nobody come against me. And if so, Holy Ghost, hold my temper. Help me. See, Sister Rachel, I know I need help in that temper area. I already know it. If God knows it, Brother Byers, why you don't think we ought to know it? I pray that prayer every morning. Please, God, after all my other prayers, don't let nobody do this. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't like sandpaper. Remember to say, God's using them as some sandpaper on you. Brother Ernest, I get tired of sandpaper. Tell the truth. God knows what you're thinking. You might as well talk to him like David. Lord, I'm tired of this. Brother Sledge, I thank God that me and you, when we was in Cracker Barrel the other day, me and you didn't start up. It'd cost them a lot of money, wouldn't it? You better believe it. I love him. I'm going to tell you, I come to this church. Listen, all you seniors, I love y'all. I really do. And listen to your stories, you know, and Brother Sledge, me and him's always had something going, and Brother Byers, he told me when I first showed up here, see, I could have been apostatized then. I could have said, I ain't listening to that. I'm going to another church. Matter of fact, I ain't going to church no more. That's what some do, Chris. Get their little feelings hurt. Then you want to run and leave, go somewhere else. Sometimes you got to, but sometimes you got to make a stand. Have I been hurt in church? Absolutely. But I had to bear it. Move on. Now, why am I at this church, Theodore Church of God? This is where the organization tells me that I had to come to keep licensing up. Then I felt the Lord to have me to stay here. It wasn't because I was leaving Oak Park or this for that. I'm doing as those who are over me in the Lord told me this is what I need to do. It's either obey them or not. So some people in the area of apostasy lose track when things don't happen the way they need it to happen. If the realities of the world become greater than the realities of God's heavenly kingdom, believers gradually cease to draw near to God through Christ. Amen. You know what? You can quote 11 and 6 by heart. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just, well, I think I go to church today. Really don't want to. Some didn't come today because they found out I was preaching, Kim. Brother Elmore, that don't hurt my feelings. I'm doing what God called me to. Now, I hope they're on vacation. I'll let them off a little bit. But I know some of them said, I ain't about to listen to him. Thank God for different characters of ministry and ministers in this church. Because, you know, we all got different personalities. But you can't get your feelings hurt with that. This verse describes the conviction that are a part of saving faith. We must believe in the existence of a personal, infinite, holy God who cares for us. Amen? Through hardness of heart and rejection of God's way, they ignore the repeated voice and rebuke of the Holy Spirit. We don't grieve the Holy Ghost. We know that David asked God not to take his Holy Spirit from him in 51 and 11. In closing, we know another cause of moral shipwreck, according to the apostle, the hurtful lust. There is, for instance, the lust after money. There's special reference to this right in here. That they will be rich, rich at any cost, social, mental, or spiritual, which some converted after There is the lust after sinful pleasure. Pure pleasure is right enough, but any pleasure indulged at the expense of conscience, any pleasure with souls, the spiritual nature is altogether wrong. The pleasures of sinful gratification, of reading and amusement with appeal to the lowest passions, the bewitching of drinking, are daily drowning men in deconstruction, leading them to shipwreck. Amen? How do we overcome this? Listen. Those who generally become concerned about their spiritual condition and find in their hearts the desire to return to God in repentance have sure evidence they hadn't committed the unpardonable sin. The Holy Ghost, I stay on you. Repent and come back to God. Amen? Play me some soft music, please. I did say please. I'm going to pray. We're going to have an altar call. It's not up to me. I give an altar call wherever I preach. I don't care if this is my home church and everybody in here says they're saved. The Bible says different. Jesus said, not everyone who say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I love everybody here, but there are some who might have been drawn away, who's turned their back on God through circumstances of things that come into your life. And there are those here probably have never known the Lord Jesus as Savior. But now this is the time. Saints, I need you praying right now. This is God's timing. I need you to pray and ask God to touch someone's heart who needs to be up here, because I don't take long. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to make the call. But somebody needs to be down here and asking God to help them. Father, I've done my best. Lord, I preached what you had me to preach. Now, God, I know that there are those here. And Father, it ain't that we're trying to embarrass people or not, but God, we're trying to get them to heaven, for you do the saving. Holy Ghost, I pray you work over their hearts and touch them. Lord, minister to the rest of us here, that, Lord, that we in need, medical, financial. Lord, our minds may be sent somewhere else, but God, you can help us. Father, I pray that you would bless us today and minister to us. In Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Altar's still open. I give you, does anyone need to come down here and pray? If you don't want to come down and pray the sinner's prayer, or you're saved, or maybe your faith is being shipwrecked, you can come down here and I'll pray with you. The altars are open. I'm going to give you a few minutes. Not, I'm going to dismiss us. But I want you to be back tonight to hear the young minister. Tonight, and I'll be here to help him out. Amen. Is there any who need prayer? Come down.
Thank you for listening to our podcast Up the Hill. We pray that you are blessed by this message. For more information on what's happening at the Hill and to stay connected, visit our website at ForestHillCog.org. Join our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForestHillCog, or download our app from the iTunes or Google Play Store.